I can have your attention here in the media center. We're joined now by the driver of the number 10 Ford for Stewart Haas Racing, Danica Patrick. Danica, I understand you have some news you want to share with us today.
I do.
Please go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did call this, didn't we? Yeah. So this will be my last season as a full-time driver. My sister told me I was supposed to get emotional. I said I wouldn't. But anyway. But I'm grateful for all the opportunities. I'm thankful for Dale and Kelly and Bob Parsons from GoDaddy for getting me into NASCAR. Thank you to Tony and Gene. Too many of you here. I'm really excited. I actually have something really exciting to tell you.
I can have you have some of them leave.
What?
We can pick 5 or 10 and have them get out.
No, I don't want to have to say it that many times.
Okay.
You know, I just think that sometimes in your life, I don't feel like I was necessarily pushed into this. I feel like I should be doing this. I feel like this is where my life should be headed. And sometimes we just get kind of nudged there. Sometimes it's big nudges and sometimes it's little. But I definitely was faced with, you know, situations at the beginning of the year that I'd never faced before. I've never had sponsor issues. But it made me think about things. And so I'm excited about the next phase, trust me. I'm just seeing 100 of you. But thank you to my mom, my dad, my sister, Chase, Ricky. Thank you for everything. Haley, Allison, Ronnie. So, I feel like I need to turn my chair, clear this shit up, and turn back around and tell you what I want to tell you that I'm really excited about. So, okay. Okay, but I'm not totally done. I am going to do the Daytona 500 next year and the Indy 500. So I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be a great way to cap it off.
Take a couple questions?
Sure.
All right. Let's start over here with Jordan, and then we'll go to Greg, then Bob.
Jordan Bianchi, SB Nation. Danica, have you...
It's to your right.
You all sound like you're obviously in the same place, so...
Have you decided which teams, or have you agreed to contracts with teams, which teams you'll be driving for in Indy and Daytona?
This is not, the first time I've thought of this. I didn't decide yesterday and then come decide to tell you all. But, no, we're down the line with different facets of moving forward. But nothing's final yet. But hopefully it will be soon. But things are definitely not set.
We'll go right here to the back middle, to Greg, and then to Bob, and then Claire.
I know it's tough for you. It's tough for your fans. But you're not going away. You're not going anywhere. We're just going to see you in a different
and
facet.
I'm not dead, turns out.
Exactly, right. So, but the big question that I would like to know is, you've made an impact on the sport. How do you want to be remembered during your full-time career here by your
Why are you asking me that question? I'm so emotional.
I know. It's tough, but...
No,
By your fans, by your competitors, and by us in the media. What's your legacy?
You know, what I've always wanted is to just be remembered as a great driver. and, you know, then remembered as a girl. I don't care if you remember me as a girl. Of course I am. It's pretty obvious. But to be remembered as a great driver, that's it.
We'll go over to your right to Bob.
Bob Pockers, ESPN. What made you want to do the Indy 500 again? You've kind of said never say never, but
I never thought I would do it. I really didn't. So I always thought in my head never, but I never said never because I'm no better. And thank God, right? Because here I am. It was really a conversation with my agent, Alan, which I'm sorry I left you out of my thank yous. I'm just a little bit of a mess. But he said, we ran through so many different ideas, different teams, different scenarios, different just do these races, just do this race. And he called and, you know, there was – I have been much more in flow with it. Like, I have not poked and prodded and asked many questions. I wanted this to all just unfold naturally, and what was going to be was going to be. And, you know, as I said to many of you years ago, if it's going to not get better, I don't want to do it because it's not fun. Here I am. It's not fun. So, you know, my urgency to push, to keep doing everything was just not really there. So if something that wasn't really enticing didn't come up, I wasn't going to push for something else. I don't like to run people down the pier if I don't mean it. So he called and he just said, well, what about finishing up at Daytona? And I don't know where it came from, but then out of my mouth came, what about Indy? I don't know. I don't even know why I said it necessarily, but it was really the first sort of idea that got me really excited. So that was it. He said, I would love for you to do both. And I was like, well, let's do it. And then I called Haley and I said, what did I just say I would do? Do you think this is a good idea? And she was like, hell yes, that's a good idea. So that was it. I'm still surprised. I mean, I'm still like, you're not even doing anything. You're supposed to drop the mic after I either started crying or I said I was doing the Indy 500, one or the other. So that's kind of how it came about. It was really just, it just came from my heart. And I think it's going to be awesome.
We're going to go straight to the back now to Claire.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Was there an option for you to do some media or television? Is that an option that we might see you in the media? And then what about all of this? You have accomplished so much just making your way in. You haven't got the winning that you wanted. But what about it was hard? What about it was very difficult?
Well, the difficulty is just, it's super competitive. I mean, it's twice the field of Indy cars. I mean, it's 40 instead of 20, basically. It's, you know, the cars make a big difference. I feel like, you know, I feel like there's a lot out of your control as a driver. And that's frustrating. So I tried every approach I could to figure out how to make the car go fast. Was it going to, do I push people? Do I let them do their job? Do I question them? Do I ask for other things? I mean, I tried every approach, and really, all that ended up happening was I lost my crew chief the first time around with Tony Gibson, and I didn't end up wanting that to happen. So, you know, I was like, well, shoot, nothing really works. So here I am, and I've tried every different route, and it just didn't go as I had hoped. But there's just a lot of stuff out of your control as a driver. And TV and media? I haven't gone down that road because I knew that was not really, I think we've heard I could do TV, but I'm not right now. No, again, never say never, but that doesn't really interest me right now. It's a really wide and deep schedule, as you all know. And that means that you still have to do a lot of it. So, and then you have to do meetings and you have to prepare, and It's a lot of work in and of itself. So I admire everyone that said yes to that job because I think it's valuable. I really do love that drivers are going into that role because it creates a lot of authenticity from the booth and about what's happening on the racetrack. So I'm glad for the drivers and obviously with Letarte. I mean, that's great information up there. So I think it's really good that they do it. But not right now for me.
We're going to come up front to Lee, and then we'll go to Kelly and Mark.
SpencerMotorsport.com. Do you anticipate getting back in an Indy car will be like riding a bike, that it'll come back to you? But, I mean, there's been so many changes to these cars since the last time you drove one.
Yeah, I you said bicycle. I'm like, it's just going to be like riding a bike, going 240. It'll be no problem. Speed wobbles and all, right? but no, I think that I think it will take a little bit of adjusting. I mean, you know, it's different for sure, but I don't feel like today I'm a worse driver than I was when I drove Indy cars. I essentially am a better driver. So, you know, it'll take a little bit of acclimating, but I think that we'll cross that bridge once we get a little bit closer. Luckily, there's a fair amount of time before that. But yeah, I mean, I would like to get in a car before I get to Indy, but I even wondered, I'm like, do I have to do rookie orientation again? I think I have to do a day or something. So that's one extra day at least. But I'm definitely have like a level of, you know, fear and nervousness about it, just a little bit because it's been so long. But I believe I will catch on and remember quickly.
We're going to go to the back to Kelly, then Mark, and we'll finish up with Nate.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Danica, when you say you're not totally done, you're doing Indy, you're doing Daytona, is that going to be it, or are you never saying never to maybe doing something after that as well?
I mean, you kind of answered your own question, really. I never say never, but that is my plan. I mean, after Indy, that's the end.
Go to the back right over here to Mark and then to Nate.
Mark Arrow, PRN. You touched on the situation with your crew chiefs. There have been times when I've looked at things on the racetrack and not seen where you've gotten a fair shake from the other race drivers.
Sometimes they're
assholes. Maybe things that they wouldn't have done to.
I mean, sorry, just, what was that?
Well, I'm just saying. Just how do you feel about whether you were?
Oh, I think I just said it. some of them are great, and I think that every driver faces that. You have drivers that you like and you get along with out there, and then some that you don't like. And some of them overlap quite a bit, and others are not the same. So I think there are drivers that I get along with just fine out there that other people have issues with. So I think that's across the board. There's always that, but you know, I think that I probably deal with a little bit more struggle on a car to car basis probably than everyone. And it took me a really long time to say that, because I've never really felt different. If I can pass them, I can pass them, but you know, with stock cars, the closing rates aren't quite as quick, so I think it kind of showed up more and more over time in stock cars, just because there's more, you can be more defensive a little bit than in an Indy car when you're just, you know, you just drive around them or you get a really big run. The runs are just much different.
We're going to finish up in the middle with Nate Ryan.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Just a few clarifying questions. So just those two races, no other races?
Yes, sir. Okay. Just those two.
Okay. Would you want to run for the same team in both of those two races?
I mean, that's an option, I suppose, but it doesn't have to be. I think that, you know, when we're talking about Daytona, you know, that is what it is. It's a there's a lot of luck involved, so you know, to some degree, that doesn't seem as critical. But in IndyCar, I think it's maybe a little bit more, but I think there are probably a little bit more options as well, a little more flexibility there. So, yeah, I mean, I think it would make it easier, but I don't think it's an absolute necessary.
If I'm understanding the rules correctly, there are teams with four cars can't field a fifth car in the Daytona 500, right?
Right.
So you're
right.
Limited to just a few cup teams then that you're probably looking at?
Right. That's not my job, though. But
it is your job. You're actually going to make the decision, right?
Well, I mean, the ultimate yes and no, but yeah, I mean, again, like I said, I mean, there are conversations going on, but nothing is final right now, so.
Danica, thanks for joining us, and good luck this weekend.
Sorry, was that weird to see me all weird, and I got to get out of here.